Episode of the Tan and J-Man Show live on the ISC Sports Network. It is a steamy 1st of July, Monday here, at least. In
1st of June, bro. It's not July yet.
Where is my brain? I don't know. It feels like July. Maybe that's what – I don't even know why I was thinking July, to be honest. I wish 4th of July would be
here. Don't speed up time even more. I mean, it's already – this year's already flying by.
Yeah, but it is June, not July. I have not fast forward into the future, but it's hot. That's all I know. How you doing, Itana, man?
I'm doing well, Jay, man. It is hot. It is feeling like summer, even though summer doesn't start officially. I don't think the 20th, if I'm not mistaken. I think the 20th is the first day of summer, but yeah, it feels hot. I love summertime, but as a guy who's not a diehard baseball fan, I'm a little bored right now, but
I'd prefer that feeling at this point.
But I'm trying to, I guess, enjoy the relaxation I can of my sports fandom, because I know fall through winter, it's stress every week. So
enjoy the stressless. Not that I'm feeling any stress, but I could use a break. I tell you. Of course, your team played into April for NCAA basketball, and my team played pretty dang deep into March.
Right.
In fact,
into April. No, it was March. It was March.
Yeah, I think it was
March 30th.
Yeah, March 30th. Yeah. It was late into March.
Yeah.
The Illinois Iowa State Sweet 16 game coincided with opening day of baseball, so I've had no break whatsoever. Usually, Illinois is out early, and I get a few weeks off, but not this year. And honestly, I prefer it that way.
Yeah. Well, speaking of college baseball, my birdie or bogey question, I think for the first time in Tan J-Man Show history, has to do with college baseball.
I love it.
And you're probably going to get this right. We will see.
You're overestimating my brain.
It's a pretty straightforward question. You're going to get a birdie or a par, because it's a one-part answer. So what school has the most College World Series titles?
I thought that might be, once you said college baseball, I thought that might be your question. Most titles, huh?
Not appearances, titles.
Obviously, a few teams come to mind. Sure. A few schools come to mind, but I'm sure I'll get it wrong. But birdie or bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. It is pizza night, dill pickle, supreme cheese, pepperoni, and margarita pizza at the Arlington Public House. Open 4 to 9 Monday through Thursdays, 4 to 10 Fridays and Saturdays. They also debuted a new burger, which I thought about making the two-hour trek. It's hard to justify a two-hour trip for a burger, but this one looked pretty dang.
Didn't it, though? Oh, my
pretty
God.
Pretty dang good enough to make the two-hour trip. A juicy burger topped with crispy bacon, breadcrumb-coated mac and cheese on a fresh pretzel bun. Go like Arlington Public House on Facebook, and you will be able to see it. It looks divine. It is pretty impressive looking, and I'm gonna need to try one at some point.
No, yeah, they keep coming out with some really good items lately, and
pretty creative. Their chefs they have there too. Pretty interesting combinations they put together.
Yeah, then that one really caught my attention. So I'm like, I like everything that's described there. It looks good. Yeah, I'm gonna have to give that one a try for sure. I haven't had a good burger out at a restaurant in a while. I'm not, as you've known me long enough, I'm not a guy who typically gets burgers too often out at restaurants. So,
trying to think I don't even remember the last time I got a burger at a restaurant. I've been more on a chicken train here recently. Fried chicken, crispy chicken sandwiches.
I'm air frying some chicken tonight. That's what we got for dinner.
Pretty dang good. Pretty good.
Yep. My stomach's growling thinking about it. So. But yeah, like I said at the top of the show, depending if you're a big baseball fan or not, there's either a lot going on right now in the sports world or maybe not so much. But J-Man, you are one of the biggest baseball fans I know.
Yeah.
So why don't you enlighten the Tan J-Man Show Nation on what's going on around Major League Baseball?
Starting with the Cubs, they've lost six straight series. Haven't won back-to-back games since May 4th and May 5th.
And, you know, I know both the Cubs and Reds are struggling when in our message of our friend group, it wasn't even spoken about at all.
No. And Andrew texted Cameron and I separately. And so we texted a little bit so you guys could be left out because I know how much you guys love that. But no, both teams are pretty mediocre to bad at this point. Pretty disappointing, honestly. Yeah, as I said, six straight series losses. I mean, you look at the games the Cubs have won here recently. They've won four games over the past 3 weeks, which is pretty embarrassing, honestly. In those games, yeah, four games over the last 3 weeks, and you look at the games that they won, they could easily be on a 16 game losing streak. Because Saturday night they got down 4-0 because Seiya Suzuki I don't know if you saw the replay of it, bases loaded, two outs, top of the second inning, routine fly ball to Seiya Suzuki out and right, and he just dropped it. I had never seen – I mean, it was raining, but that doesn't – it's not a good enough excuse for me.
He pulled at least Castillo.
Flat out dropped it.
Remember that?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. Just biffed it, and four runs ended up scoring that inning. It would have been 0-0 heading to the third, but four runs ended up scoring. Then he redeemed himself. He hit a grand slam in the bottom of the second to tie it, so he the dumb and dumber quote, just when I thought you couldn't get any dumb, you go and do something like this. Totally redeem yourself. That's what he did. But then they didn't score another run, really, the rest of the game. And then Dansby Swanson did a two-run homer in the eighth to win it. Their other win, one of their other wins, 10-inning game. They had one run going to the ninth inning, blow a save, then score a few runs in the 10th inning to win. Then they had a walk-off win against Atlanta. The walk-off win against Pittsburgh, 1-0. So they could easily be on a 16-game losing streak right now. Instead, they've lost 8-12, which is that feels just as bad. And, you know, they're doing it in multiple ways because they're getting blown out. They're losing heartbreakers. Just really uncompetitive plate appearances. You know, right when the offense looks like it's starting to wake up, the bullpen starts to blow games again. Starting rotation gets blown up. And you know, I've talked a lot about Jed Hoyer and his failings. And one thing that really annoys me with this team is, you know, he saw the team last year, the team that had like a 95% chance to make playoffs enter in September. Then they go 10 games under 500, essentially, in September. Bullpen falls apart. Offense falls apart. Defense falls apart. Starting pitching falls apart. The whole thing. Like, it was an epic collapse, even for, like, Cubs fans to say it was an epic collapse for them to do that. He essentially decided to run it back, and you know, he went out and he was thinking, you know, last year I think we should have been in the playoffs, but we did not win games on the margins. You know, we had a bald and dumb manager named David Ross who cost us some games in September, which is the case. I mean, he ran that bullpen ragged and he'd use the same guys and they just ran out of gas. He would play guys like Trey Mancini deep into June, Tucker Barnhart deep into June, to the point where Jed had to release those guys just so David would stop playing them. And he did the same thing with the bullpen. Jose Quas is not even on the major league roster right now because he's so bad. Ross pitched him about every other day, it felt like. Mark Leiter ran out of gas because he just ran him. Albert Alzolay ran out of gas, and it's continued to run out of gas entering into this season. Now he's hurt and he's on the 60-day injured list. Julian Merriweather, the same thing. So he goes and okay, we're going to go out and get the best manager in baseball winning on the margins. You look at those Brewers teams Craig Counsell managed. They were not overly talented. They had two really good pitchers, which helped, and two really good bullpen guys, which helps. I mean, that completely shortens the game when you have that. Offensively, those were not teams that were that great. And so he put guys in the correct spots. And, you know, it worked out for him. And so he goes out and, you know, gives him $40 million over 5 years. Going to come in. That's all we got to do. We just got to win on the margins. We're not going to go out and get a superstar. We are going to re-sign Cody Bellinger. We need to fix first base. We did that, trading for Michael Bush. And for success to happen this year, those guys had to replicate exactly what they did last year, essentially. Cubs had razor-thin margins coming into the season, and they needed things to go really well for them, go their way very well. And, you know, we're looking. They have had some injury issues, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt there. But they're expecting, you know, they needed Cody Bellinger to come in, hit over 300, 25, 26 homers. Hasn't happened yet. He's been pretty solid, so I'll give him that. Seiya Suzuki was the best hitter in the National League from August 1st on, hitting over 370. They needed him to come in and be a superstar. Hasn't happened. Nico Hoerner, you know, this team needs to play really good defense in order to be successful. And that starts with the two guys in the middle. Nico Hoerner, Dansby Swanson, both won gold gloves last year, both the best at their position. Dansby Swanson's been graded out below average defensively at shortstop this year, according to outs above average. Same thing with Nico Hoerner. He's right around average defensively. They need those guys to be elite there. And the Dansby Swanson contract is looking as bad as Jason Hayward's at this point, because he stopped hitting around August last year too. And here we are, June, and he's hitting barely above 200. He has five homers. He just hasn't been very good. They needed Chris Morel to take the next step and cement himself as their third baseman of the future. He's hit fourth all year long. He's hitting under 200. Now, there are some signs that he will be okay and he will break out, but I'm waiting for it to happen because I've been waiting for 6 weeks now and it just hasn't happened. You know, his batted ball data is fantastic. Exit velocity good. His strikeout rate is at a career low. His walk rate's at a career high. So all these things suggest that he would have this breakout season. His batting average on balls in play is barely above 200. So you think that would kind of taper out. Even if it gets a 270, 280, that's a really good baseball player. Hasn't happened yet. Ian Happ's having a year that is not nearly as good as he was last year. And then you look at their catching spot. It has made a complete 180 from last year. Yan Gomes had a really good season. Offensively and defensively, he is graded out as the worst offensive player in baseball, regardless of position, and the worst defensive catcher by nearly every metric in baseball. Then you have Miguel Amaya. You know, he's a rookie last year. He's 25 years old. They needed him to have a sophomore leap. Hasn't happened. He has given up. I'm going to go look it up here real quick. Cubs have not been able to throw out base runners at all. I've not been able to stop running game. It's a miracle when they do throw out base stealers. So far this year, he has given up 34 steals and only caught five. So stolen base. And last year, he was 31 for 34. So he was pretty bad last year as well. 12 wild pitches, three pass balls. And offensively, he's hitting 523 OPS, which would be a disappointing year for a guy like Madison Bumgarner, Zach Greinke, Carlos Zambrano. Like, for good hitting pitchers, that'd be a disappointing year. So you're essentially... in a day and age where you get the designated hitter, you're essentially still hitting a pitcher ninth, which is a travesty. So that's one thing Jed needs to go out and do. And I've talked about him being one of the most conservative, safe, risk-averse general manager, president of baseball ops in baseball. And he should start feeling some heat because this was the year they were supposed to take that step forward and head into the postseason and compete for a division. And here we are, you know, June 3rd, and they're 7.5 games out already of the division. Crazy thing is the National League is so poor this year that they came in yesterday tied for that final wild card spot. So they'll still should be able to compete for a wild card spot. It's just whether Jed wants to go out and make his team actually better, which has really not been the case. He's just I don't know if he's scared that the Ricketts will stop giving him money, or he needs to go out and take a swing sometime, or he's going to lose his job, and he should lose his job. And I've been on board with I wanted him fired last year, honestly. So as far as the bullpen goes, as I said, Julian Merriweather dealt with injuries all year. He's out till after the All-Star break. Same with Adbert Alzolay. They needed him to be good. He's out. But, I mean, you look at their bullpen last year, and they are the reason they imploded. They had three big leads against Atlanta in Atlanta the final week of the year when they had a two-game wild card lead, and they blew every single one of them. And so Jed goes out, and his big offseason acquisition for the bullpen is Hector Neris, who has been an up-and-down career, and he is now their closer with a strikeout and walk rate at the exact same. He has an ERA under 3, which is great. But every other underlying statistic suggests this is a guy that should have an ERA right around six, and he's your best reliever. Starting pitching's been fine. I mean, Shohei Imanaga got blown up on Wednesday. But he's been absurdly good. Justin Steele starting to look a little back to form. Javier Assad's looked great. Ben Brown has been fantastic out of the rotation. He got hit around a little bit yesterday, but on Tuesday he became the first Major League Baseball pitcher age 24 or younger with a start of at least 7 innings, no hits, no runs, and at least 10 strikeouts since Justin Verlander's no-hitter in 2007. He's the first Cub to put up that line at that age since 1901. Wow. He's looking like a future stud. Whether it's he's a two-pitch pitcher, which makes you nervous as far as rotation goes. It's working right now, but he could be a back end of the bullpen that could help them out once a guy like Jordan Wicks comes back. But they need to be better. Honestly, that's what it comes down to. They are hitting 176 as a team with runners in scoring position since April 27th. They are 44% below league average with runners in scoring position since April 27th. So everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, and there's honestly, it feels like there's no end in sight. Now, they do play a White Sox team that's bad for 2 games in Wrigley the next 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday. But over their last 35 games, the White Sox are 12-23 and the Cubs are 13-22. So not much separating them over the last 35 games. So it's been a pretty miserable stretch. I mean, May is the reason why they missed the playoffs last year. They went 10-18. They went 10-18 as well this year.
So far through 2 full months, how do you evaluate Craig Counsell as a manager? I mean, would you like to see him a little more fiery than he is? Of course, you don't see what's going on behind the scenes, but so far, what's your evaluation of him?
I mean, it's hard to really evaluate just because, I mean, he's playing the players that have been given to him.
Right, right.
I think his bullpen management has been so much better than David Ross. He did, for the most part, he's been pretty good putting the lineup together and as far as substitutions go, because mm-hmm. David Ross was such an idiot. But they did put
man, your tone really flipped on him late in like the last half last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I never really liked him as a manager the whole time and didn't think they should hire him because you're going to have to fire him eventually. And that's what happened. Yeah. But he put guys like Nick Madrigal in. It just made no sense. I don't know if you saw any of the game on Friday. He put him in to pinch hit for Patrick Wisdom. I'm a Patrick Wisdom hater. I've never been a big fan. But Pat could run into one every once in a while. They're down 2 in the 9th. That spot's coming up. 2 guys on, nobody out. And you're thinking, man, Pat could run into one. Wind's blowing out. Get it in the air. Cubs can win the ball game. He puts Nick Madrigal in. He hits a little ground ball to third. It force out at second. He beats it out at first. And then Seiya Suzuki comes up with one out, hits a ball into the corner, one run scores. Nick Madrigal is rounding third, and his helmet's about to fall off. Instead of running really fast, he's trying to hold his helmet on. And then it finally falls off. And the dumbest send of the Major League Baseball season, Willie Harris decides to send Nick Madrigal home. And Ellie De La Cruz, with the strongest arm in the sport, throws him out by 10 feet. He threw a 94-mile-an-hour seed from the outfield to get him. It wasn't even close. There's one out. Cody Bellinger's coming up next. I mean,
you
can't send him there. 2 outs, you understand.
Is that the same Willie Harris that used to play for the White Sox?
Yeah, played all over. Yeah, White Sox.
Oh, that's right. I remember White Sox.
Yeah. He's been the Cubs' third base coach since 2021.
Okay.
And they have led the majors in getting thrown out at home plate.
Well, maybe they need to evaluate that a little bit and make a change. I mean,
22, they had the third most last year, so they weren't dead last. But this year they've been dead last. But, yeah, their base running's terrible. They are leading baseball in outs on the base paths. So they, as I tweeted, I think it was last week, Cubs are a collection of 26 of the dumbest players in the sport. The good thing is Nick Madrigal is no longer here. The bad thing is they called up David Bote, and people were celebrating because clearly over the past year and a half they forgot that David Bote is also very bad. So things are great on the north side.
I'm sorry, but for the sake of the pod, when things aren't going great for the north side, it's a more entertaining listen.
The bad thing is Friday's game got me mentally checked out to the point where if they get back in it, awesome. Because they did the same thing last year. You know, they right. got out of it and then we're back in it. So I don't think you'll see me tweeting as much because I've just
you've been pretty entertaining this year.
No, I've been pretty angry the past month, but I have officially mentally checked out. So I'll obviously still watch them and everything, but I will not live and die with each pitch like I was doing. But
Elsewhere around the league, AL East, Yankees continue to play really good baseball.
They're very good. Trading for
19.
Yeah, trading for Juan Soto, which is what I wanted the Cubs to do, and Jed wouldn't trade his prospects. That'll probably never pan out, honestly, for a 24-year-old superstar who has turned into be he's the best hitter in baseball. I'd take
him. Yeah, he's not going to be – let me phrase this. He'll be in pinstripes for a long, long time. Let me put it.
You would think he'd be in pinstripes. But yeah. At the same time, whoever's in charge, one of the Steinbrenner said they're going to try to lower their payroll.
That'd be Hank. Hal passed away.
Not sustainable is what he said. But Aaron Judge just came off one of the best months ever.
Yeah.
OPS around 1,300. He hit 15 bombs. He hit three homers in his first eight plate appearances at Oracle Park in San Francisco over the weekend, which is tied for the most in that ballpark all season. He's tied with Thairo Estrada, who has three and 109 plate appearances, and Mike Yastrzemski, who has three and 90 plate appearances. Obviously, they play for the Giants. So, yeah, he's on an absolute heater. That's the best 1-2 punch offensively.
Yeah, there, I think on DraftKings, they're 1-2 for the AL MVP right now, of course.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be very hard to argue that because they're both absolutely incredible. And they've been pitching so well.
And that's been a surprise.
Yeah, they are – number one in ERA, 2.78 ERA. Luis Gil has been fantastic, 1.99 ERA. Marcus Stroman's been a huge pickup for him. Carlos Rodon's having a bounce back year. And their bullpen's fantastic. But you also have Garrett Cole starting a rehab assignment this week. So he'll be back. So this might be the year that saves Aaron Boone's job.
Well, I seem like I'm a broken record because I say this every year. He's got to do something this year. Yeah. He's got to. I mean,
has to. Yeah.
The Orioles, pretty good. Yeah, 37-20.
Yeah, they're a good squad. And they'll hang around. I don't know if they'll win 100 games like they did last year, but
right.
It seems like they're calling up a top 10 prospect in baseball about every week at this point. Pitching could be an issue. They have had some injury issues there, so I think they'll be in the market for a good starting pitcher come the trade deadline. The Red Sox are 500. I actually have a Red Sox stat pulled up here. The Red Sox are 30-30. They have previously been 1-1, 2-2, 7-7, 9-9, 10-10, 19-19, 22-22, 24-24, 26-26. 27-27, 28-28, 29-29. So they are the epitome of mediocrity.
That's a fan base that's pretty frustrated with their management.
Yeah, they've lowered payroll. It's like John Henry said, man, I've won four titles.
Yep. What else do you want me to do? Yeah.
Of course, you want to continue to win titles, but
Then you got the Rays and the Jays rounding out the basement of the AL East.
Yeah, Blue Jays are an interesting one, especially come trade deadlines. There's already been rumors that they're going to shop Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero Jr., which I want the Cubs to jump on that Vladdy train. He's only 25, and he's already been a runner-up for MVP. Or did he win it? I don't think he won it. But,
I don't think he won it.
No, he had a really good year. It's probably Shohei's first. I think it was Shohei's first. I'd like the Cubs to actually go make a move for a 25-year-old very good hitter because they definitely need that. AL Central, Cleveland Guardians, surprise of the year, in my opinion, mm-hmm. even more mm-hmm. so than their Central counterpart, Kansas City Royals. Mm-hmm. 39-20. They're doing it with pitching. They're hitting. It's a surprise, honestly. I did not expect that to happen. Yeah, and the Twins are right there. Royals are good. And then you have the White Sox, 15-45. They have the worst record in baseball by six games. And I'm fully expecting them to win at least one in Wrigley the next couple days. But AL West, Mariners are kind of taking a hold there. 7 games over .500. They did fire their hitting coach, Brant Brown. Do you remember Brant Brown with the Cubs?
Name sounds familiar, yeah.
He was a Cub in 98, and his most infamous moment was they were fighting for a playoff spot. They would have ended up clinching in the regular season and not having to play a game 163, which they ended up winning game 163 against the Giants anyway. But they're in Milwaukee at the old old County Stadium. And I think there's two outs in the ninth, a couple guys on. I think it's a 1 or 2 run game. Rod Beck's on the mound, Shooter's on the mound.
Yeah.
And he throws a pitch, and it's hit to left field, tailor-made, easy ball right around the edge of the warning track, and Brant Brown drops it, and all whoever's on base scores, and Brewers win the game. And this is late September, and they have a very short lead or a very small lead. And you can hear Ron Santo on the radio broadcast go, "No!" He screams, "No! God, no!" It's so funny. You're going to have to look it up. People are going to have to look it up. But that's what Brant Brown's known for. But he just got fired by the Mariners because they can't hit. That roundabout way of saying he was a bad coach. But National League, Phillies, 41-19. They're good. Braves are right there. 6.5 back, though. They've struggled to hit, which is the weird thing. They hit over 300 homers last year, and they're on pace for less than half of that so far this year. You fully expect them to bounce back. But as I said last week, Ronald Acuna Jr., blew out his knee, which hurts. Mets are a laughing stock, which is hilarious.
I love it.
11 games under .500, and they, let's see here, they over the last 4 weeks have 6 losses after leading through 8 innings. 6. At most, you've played 20 games in that stretch. Not 20. At most, you played 28 games in that stretch. You probably only played maybe 23 games in that stretch. In 6 of those, they had lead entering the ninth inning and lost. So that's it's always funny to see the Mets struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Brewers are good, 13 games over .500. Cardinals are 1 game under. Cubs 2 under. Pirates 5 under. Reds 7 under. So it looks like the Brewers' division to lose there, as they have the largest lead in Major League Baseball, largest division lead. Dodgers are good. Padres have a wild card spot right now. Giants are bad. Arizona's been underwhelming, and the Rockies are pretty bad.
Even though they had a decent May for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. After their horrendous April, they had a fairly good, not bad anyway, May. So
yeah.
Let's see, what else do I have here? Chicago baseball the last 3 weeks. White Sox have the least amount of wins. Cubs have second least amount. White Sox have scored the least amount of runs. Cubs have the second least amount of runs. White Sox are 26th in batting average. Cubs are 30th. White Sox are 30th in on-base percentage. Cubs are 29th. White Sox are 28th in slugging. Cubs are 30th. White Sox are 29th in OPS, and the Cubs are 30th over the past 3 weeks. So the White Sox baseball teams are terrible.
Chicago baseball teams.
It's a peak Monday. Chicago baseball teams are terrible.
I was just going to let that go by, but I was like, yeah. I got to say something.
Let's see what else. And now Central, since Jed Hoyer became the Cubs president. Brewers are 309-236. Cardinals are 282-261. Cubs are 257-289. Reds are 253-292. Pirates are 226-319, which means the Cubs are 50-plus games, 52.5 games behind the Brewers.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 26.5 games worse than the Cardinals, 3.5 games better than the Reds, and 30.5 games ahead of the Pirates. So they are 20 games closer to the Pirates than the Brewers. So it's not going well for Jed, and honestly, it should be starting to feel pretty late for him, and he needs to – make some sort of splash, or he should be on the unemployment line. And yep. I will be the first one tweeting, "Fire Jed."
Get the movement started, J-Man.
That's right. That is right.
But do you want to get educated?
Let's do it.
All right. And we'll start with a baseball fact that happened on June 3rd. On this day in 1851, the first baseball uniforms were worn when the New York Knickerbockers wore a uniform of straw hats, white shirts, and blue long trousers.
Yeah, I love it.
Let's see here. I don't know what this means because we don't follow cricket, but it sounds cool. On this day in 1899, W.G. Grace's last day of test cricket aged 50 years, 320 days.
You know what? Give me all the cricket things you got on there.
All right. They always sound cool. On the day 1925, baseball player Eddie Collins became the sixth player to get 3,000 hits. Let's see. On this day, 1932, future Baseball Hall of Famer, Baseball Hall of Fame first baseman Lou Gehrig, first to hit four consecutive home runs in an MLB game. The Yankees beat the Philadelphia Athletics 20-13.
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yep. Oh, man. A lot of French Open. On this day, 1955, Stan Musial hit his 300th career home run.
Stan the man, he was also pretty dang good.
Yes, he was. On this day, 1971, MLB Chicago Cubs pitcher Ken Holtzman threw a second no-hitter, beating the Reds 1-0 on the road at Riverfront Stadium.
Okay, that was not. My grandpa was at his first no-hitter then.
It says second no-hitter. Ken
Holtzman. Yeah, because it was in Wrigley, one of them, and my grandpa always talked about how he was there. So.
I remember you sharing that on the pod before. So test cricket must be a league or something.
Yeah.
Because on this day, 1971, test cricket debut of Imran Khan versus England. And then it's a bunch of numbers. 5, 0-36, 0-19.
Yeah, it just looks like chaos. And I have to like watch a bunch of YouTube videos just to.
Yeah, this guy was a cricketer and then prime minister of Pakistan.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. He wanted all the cricket. So on this day, 1976, test cricket's debut of Mike Brearley against the West Indies, 0-17, whatever that means.
Big fan of Mike Brearley.
Yeah. On this day, 1980, the New York Mets drafted Daryl Strawberry.
I think he just got his number retired or something. He got honored over the weekend.
I think you're right. On this day, 1989, Nolan Ryan pitched his second one-hitter of the season and 11th of his career. Still crazy to me he never won a Cy Young.
Yeah.
Just blows my mind.
Yeah.
On this day, 1989 as well, sports casting legend Vin Scully broadcast 23 innings in two different cities in one day.
Wow. Iron Man. He was still doing it way until 2016 or so.
Yeah.
Final year.
Yeah. On this day, 1995, Expos pitcher Pedro Martinez has perfect game broken up in the 10th inning as San Diego's Bip Roberts led off with a double. Montreal won the game 1-0.
Pedro might have been the nastiest pitcher ever.
I can't his stand him, but man, he was good.
Was ridiculous.
I saw a video of him, I think it was today, making Gary Sheffield look stupid one time in a Red Sox-Yankee game. On this day in 2012, Tiger Woods claimed his 73rd PGA Tour victory with a two-stroke win over Andres Romero and Rory Sabatini in the Memorial Tournament at Muirfield Village that equaled Jack Nicklaus's PGA Tour career win total.
Were you at that one?
I went to the third round. Oh. Yes. And I'm going this weekend.
Ah, is it this round. Weekend?
So looking forward to it. I haven't been there since 2013. Okay. So, yeah. Let's see. On this day in 2018, Golden State guard Stephen Curry broke Ray Allen's NBA Finals record for most three-pointers with 9 in the Warriors' 122-103 Game 2 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you're an MLB draft guy. Who was taken number 1 overall on this day in 2019 by the Baltimore Orioles?
That was Adley Rutschman.
Correct. Oregon State.
Yeah, he also played football at Oregon State, and there's a very famous, it's kind of famous in baseball circles, of him tackling Christian McCaffrey on a punt or a kickoff return.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. But Rutschman, one of the best catchers in the sport already. So.
And on this day in 2021, Devon Conway became the 7th batsman in cricket history to score a double century in his test debut.
Run out
for 200 for New Zealand and first test against England at Lords. I know some of those words.
Yeah, New Zealand's all about cricket, and they're all about rugby. I think their famous rugby team is called the All Blacks. I think
yes, they are. You're correct. Yep.
Because when I was at Grace College for 1 year, those weirdos got really into rugby. On my hall in my dorm. So,
sorry. Well, I'm sorry for anybody listening that might have lived in Josh's hall of his dorm.
Guarantee no one remembers my name there. So I think
they will now. They will now.
Yeah, they got super into rugby. There was like a big field, and like they started a rugby club, and like they'd go down and play Purdue's rugby club. And
you didn't ever participate.
For one, I didn't like playing football. I had pads on. I can't imagine getting absolutely nailed any sort of padding on. I have enough padding in the belly, but I would have broken a leg. It would have been bad.
Yeah, my grandparents, when they went to New Zealand in the early 2000s, they brought me back an All Blacks rugby ball.
That's cool.
So that's really how cool. I knew right away. Yeah, you were correct there.
Rugby makes a little more sense to me than cricket does. So.
Yeah, I'm going to have to study sports. So when the honest day comes up, I know what we're talking about at least a little bit.
It's honestly more like fun to not language. Know what it we're is. Talking about.
It is. I mean,
did you do the read for that yet?
No, I have not. I am right now because the Honest Day segment, like it is every week, is brought to you by Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs that fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. So get your sign orders in. You know, Father's Day is next Sunday. Probably a little late to get that sign order in, but it's not too early to do some Christmas shopping, some Christmas gift ideas right there. Heck, get yourself, become a cricket fan, get yourself your favorite cricket team sign, their logo. Made into a wooden sign. So wherever you want, that can make it for you out of wood. So get your sign orders in.
I have some pick six here.
All righty.
We'll get this out of the way. A couple topics and four players. So number one, the WNBA's treatment of Caitlin Clark.
Well, it's funny you brought that up because that was literally going to be my next talking point after the pick six. But it's pretty unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a big WNBA watcher. I still haven't watched a lot this year. I see the highlights. I see the tweets. I see all that. But it just kind of baffles my mind. You know, for years, we see the outcry from WNBA players not getting paid enough. Mm-hmm. Nobody watches. Nobody comes to the games. We're getting mistreated. Now you finally got this player that's revolutionary to the sport. It's getting eyeballs, getting sponsors, getting this and that. And she's starting to have some success after a few bumps in the road, getting used to the pro game. And all the players want to do is hate on her.
Yeah.
They want to give her dirty fouls. They want to complain to the media. They want to come out to me and say, 20 years from now, you're not going to, this wasn't a one woman movement. This is multiple women, which I mean, there's multiple very good. I mean, they're WNBA players for a reason. They're great basketball players, but just be careful with the water you're trending right now, because you're going to make people not want to watch anymore. Right. And then you're going to be back to square one. So she handles herself very well.
Very well.
Very well.
You can almost like understand it if she was out there talking trash, but she doesn't say anything. She just goes out and plays basketball. It's pure jealousy in my opinion as to why this is happening.
Well, and Kennedy Carter is just absolute cheap shot. yesterday on the inbounds play for the Chicago Sky. And then they just, her and Angel Reese, they don't make it better with their comments.
Yeah.
I mean, she came out and said, I have no regrets on what happened. I mean,
yeah, and yeah, she said, what does she do besides shoot the three ball? She doesn't do anything else. She's fourth in the league in assists.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark is these girls' meal ticket. I mean,
yes.
Kennedy is making $64,000 this year. To put down a player that could potentially make you a lot more money, bring a lot more eyeballs in, put people in the seats where you're starting to make more money, to just knock her like that makes no sense. And I understand there's sometimes a rite of passage between rookies and veterans and all of that. But I haven't seen – in any other sport, I haven't seen anything like this. As far as somebody who doesn't talk much, doesn't do anything, she just goes out and plays basketball. And they are just trying to bring her down to their level. And it's a good thing she's not going down to their level, honestly.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then, I mean, she's – the WNBA is talked about more right now than it ever has been.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Pat McAfee had to apologize today for
he said
a profane statement, he said, which I don't know how – I don't know. I like Pat McAfee, but he goes over the line a lot. And I don't know when ESPN is eventually going to be like, all right, that's enough. But they always put up the little disclosure on his shows. I don't know. But.
Yeah, and what he said, I'm not obviously going to repeat it.
No, we're not. But, yeah, we don't want to get in
trouble. Yeah, he was trying to give her compliments and all
yes,
that. And
but
the wording he used was poor.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Moving on to number two, we talked about him a little bit, but Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I'm glad to see him having this type of season. Last season was a little rough with the injuries and everything. Mm-hmm. He's battled through injuries the last couple of years off and on, but he's an exciting player for baseball, not only just for the Yankees and the city of New York, but for baseball. I would say he's the face of the league, one of the faces of the league, if not the face of the league. Of course, it helps when you play in New York. But, yeah, like you said, one of the best months I can remember somebody having in a long, long time.
Hard Knocks.
Like the show, I think we're getting too much of it, though.
Yeah, it's kind of watered down now. I mean, you have what are the Giants?
So the Giants are the off season of Hard Knocks. Okay. Starts in July. Then you're going to have the Bears, which that was
which is the normal Hard Knocks.
That which is fine. That's the one. Let's be honest. I'll probably watch them all because I have Max and I love football. Yeah. But then they're going to follow a division during the season. The division has not been announced yet. So they're going to fall four teams within one division.
Of course, they did the Dolphins in season last year, which I didn't watch the final few episodes because they lost and I couldn't stomach it. I like the end season one more than the preseason one now. There's more episodes for one. But it used to be, you follow these like undrafted free agents. Are they going to make the team? And now it's not that anymore.
Right.
Preseason feels like. Where you're in the thick of things, you have a bad loss in the middle of November, it could cost you a playoff spot, and you get those raw emotions there. So I really like the end season one, but yeah, the NFL is trying to just have eyeballs on them at all times, which is smart.
Which it works. I mean, are the king of everything, but it will be interesting to see what kind of reputation Caleb Williams has coming out of Hard Knocks to the public eye. So.
Rich Eisen said today that he doesn't think playoffs best case scenario for the Bears. He thinks Super Bowl is.
Oh, my gosh. Let's pump the brakes.
I know. So, yeah.
June 3rd, I'm going on record day. I'll make playoffs this year.
I agree with you. I think Green Bay's better.
A lot better than they've been last year.
Detroit's better.
Pump the brakes.
Yeah. So, a couple more football here. Two wide receivers that got big-time extensions. Starting with Jalen Waddle from last week.
I'm doing the Waddle. Can't see my hands, but I'm doing the Waddle. good for him. That was a pretty cool video of McDaniel celebrating with him. And then he relates to his players so well. He seems like a cool dude.
Yeah.
Good. And I don't like giving your teams compliments. But, the Dolphins are as relevant now as they've ever been. Yeah. During our lives, I don't know. I was too young. We were really too young to remember Reno's glory years in the 90s. Well, yeah. It was 80s and 90s. But yeah, they're resigning the guys they need to. Mm-hmm. Now they just gotta make that deep run. They're close. Yep. They're close.
It's a big year for everyone.
They gotta stay healthy. They always seem to get injury at the worst possible time. Yep. But
it's football.
But yeah.
Waddle, I think it was 75 mil guaranteed. Only
84
player
overall or something like that. Was that right or no?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think it was 3 for 84, 75 overall. So he's under contract through 2028. Yep. Needs to catch the ball.
Tyreek's happy about it. I mean, so there's no blood there, you know, bad blood.
Yeah. So needs, and I think he worked on his hands a lot this offseason. We'll see if it translates because he did have some drop issues.
Right.
But he has the most receiving yards through a three-year stretch in Dolphins history, I believe, or to start a career anyway. I'm glad they locked him up. Another guy that got absolutely paid today, and Tyreek is also going to be very happy about this too. Justin Jefferson, 4 year, 140 mil.
Yeah. These numbers are always just eyebrow raising when they come out, but it's like, okay, the next guy in line's, you know, whether it's Tyreek Hill or Ja'Marr Chase of the Bengals, it's just setting up the next guy in line. And then, right. And then somebody who was paid three wide receivers ago before Justin Jefferson, well, that dude will probably be too old. But anyways, then he's going to be like, okay, now where's you got me. My Wi-Fi just went out for a second. You got me? So,
yep, I got you.
Okay. But yeah, it's these athletes, man, and these contracts are just getting crazy. Just crazy.
Yeah. And as
he's good, though. He's very good. He's very good. But
as you mentioned, Chase and Tyreek both are licking their chops after seeing 140 mil. Because there's already been talks that Tyreek wants to get something on the books early. So, Dolphins, the problem is, you know, we talked about this with the Seahawks years ago. They're going to
tie up all that money.
Cap hell. They won a Super Bowl. Chiefs have now won three Super Bowls. Three or four? Is it just three?
Three and four appearances.
They've been in cap hell, but they've found a way out. Dolphins have been the seventh seed the past 2 years, and they're already in it. And they're going to have to pay. You know, Tua's going to want $50 million a year, and they'll give it to him. Tyreek's going to want an absurd amount of money. You have Javon Holland and Jalen Phillips, so it'll be interesting. Over the next couple of years. Last one here, NBA basketball related. Bronny James.
If he wasn't LeBron James' son, he wouldn't be an NBA player. Not yet. Maybe in a couple of years, but he should have stayed in school for at least one more year and developed more. But he realized
he canceled visits too to 10 teams.
That's ridiculous.
To only visit the Lakers and Suns. He gets a combine invite over. I mean, it just annoys me that he after averaging 5 points a game on a terrible USC team gets like a combine invite over like a guy like Boo Booey.
I know.
Or like a Marcus Domask who had a fantastic year or whoever, guy just because of who he is. So it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, and he, you know, USC's gonna be good this year, and he could have stayed on that team, played on a good team. If he did halfway decent, he would have climbed up those charts. But, you know, he probably sees, oh, dad's in his 40s. You know, he doesn't have tons of time left, even though he's doing things that we've never seen anybody around his age ever do in NBA. I want to go play with him now, and he's got more pull than almost any player in the league, if maybe the most.
Maybe
even though they say Donovan Mitchell has got quite the pull. There in Cleveland, some announcers, some broadcaster last week, I don't remember who it was, might have been Ben Simmons, I don't know. Somebody who covers NBA was saying that he has more pull than LeBron right now league. Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? But yeah, Bronny should not be on NBA radars, but here we are.
Yep.
Like you said, the James family and the Sanders family are both.
I am so rooting against Colorado this year.
Oh my gosh, I was there last year. I'm at another level this year. So.
Yeah, we were both there. Even at by like week three, we're like, okay, it's a little much.
Yeah. But so good list, Jay, man. That's the Pick Six list, which is brought to you by Likas every week. Performa Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performa Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Hockey, the Stanley Cup final is set. Yep. We have the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers.
Florida Panthers, back-to-back years, the Panthers have made a Stanley Cup. They also made it 96. Besides those 3 years, they've been arguably the worst team in the big four leagues, but they found something there. Yeah. Brooks Koepka is probably the most notable Florida Panther fan. He goes quite a few games.
I know Mostert's had a lot of games, too, and he hits the drum or whatever they do.
Yep. So it's funny for a city who, you know, there's so much more to do than go to sports in Miami, I'm talking about. Their teams quite often get the championship games.
Sure.
Except the Dolphins. Yeah. Well, and then Marlins. But when the Marlins do, they win. You know, the Heat had their runs there with even before LeBron got there, but especially LeBron got there. And then after LeBron, they've had some runs. And now the Florida Panthers. But on the flip side, Canada's got a chance to finally win a cup for the first time since Montreal Canadiens did in 93. But I'm going Panthers in six. I don't know why. Don't know much about either team.
Fun, random, pointless fact that I saw here on Twitter. Edmonton sits at 53.5461 degrees north. Sunrise, Florida sits at 26.1670 degrees north. The 2024 Stanley Cup Final competitors have the largest difference in latitude of any championship series in the history of North American professional sports. So
that was one of the most random facts in J-Metro history.
Yeah. Travel has to be a nightmare. Yeah. That's got to be a 7-hour flight. I don't even know if they can do it in one shot. So I know I've seen a lot of sports writers complaining about it, but there's not a more entitled profession than sports writers. I've been on record saying that, but give me the team closest to Miami, which is the Florida Panthers. So.
In the NBA finals, we're set and ready to go between the Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics. Celtics looking for their first title since 08. Mavericks looking for their first title since, what would that be, 2011, I guess, LeBron's first year in Miami. So who do you like?
This will be the J-Man's Bookie Prediction of the Week. I guarantee we won't have a champion by this time.
Oh, the schedule's terrible. I think there's only going to be two games played from now to next week.
I think Dallas gets up early, though, at least 2-0. I like the way they've been playing. I just give me Dallas in that series. But Dallas getting up at least two games, 2-0, is my bookie prediction of the week, which is brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watchering for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watchering@infb.com.
Yeah, so game one's not till Thursday.
Ugh.
Then game two's Sunday. So literally, there's only going to be two games that are about by next Monday. Then game three's next Wednesday. Game four's next Friday. Game five's the following Monday. Game six then is, it doesn't even say it's Monday, Tuesday, but would be that Thursday. So if it goes seven games, that would be June 23rd.
That's almost a 3-week. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is absolutely absurd. And the NBA has been doing it forever, too.
Yeah.
That's stupid. And then the NBA draft is what, the 26th or something like that?
Yeah, it's right there. But
right afterwards.
But, so. Yep. I'm hoping the Mavericks win, but I'm taking the Celtics in six.
Yeah, I think it'll go six or seven.
That city hates Kyrie Irving with a passion.
They hate Kyrie Irving.
Pretty cool to watch.
Jason Tatum needs to get kind of the monkey off his back a little bit. Yeah. Because a lot of people say the team's really good, but is Jason Tatum the dude? And he needs a title.
Yep.
Love the way Luka Doncic plays basketball. Never been a big Kyrie guy. I think the Celtics are a better team overall, but
yes.
The Mavericks will have the best player on the court all time.
I think if you threw in if you had a draft of all the players in the finals, the top four in whatever order, I think everybody would agree would be Doncic, Irving, Brown and Tatum of some sort. Then after that, I think you pick probably four Celtics before you pick the next Maverick.
Yeah, Derek White's really good. Then you have what else do they have? Porzingis.
Well, Porzingis is back healthy. And heck, even the guy who filled in for him, old man Al Horford, has been good this offseason. Yeah. So.
He's completely transformed his game from when he was at Florida. Now he's a 3-and-D guy.
Yep. So yep. NBA season's almost over, but yet it's could still have 3 weeks. So final thing I want to talk about before we get to the birdie or bogey question and wrap this up, because it's the cover photo for this episode, so we better get it in, is EA Sports College Football 25. Mm. We're getting closer and closer to the release. It's, I think, July 19th, I believe, is the official release. You can get it 3 days earlier if you get some bundle and all this yada yada. But how excited are you for the return of EA Sports College Football?
Very, very. I do not have the console yet, but I'm going to upgrade my Xbox. I haven't played video games in so long, honestly. This is a game, you know, it hasn't been out in 10 years. I would get it every single time the first day it came out. I'd go to
it. It was like Walmart. Christmas in July.
It was. And we both absolutely loved those games. And just seeing video clips of the gameplay, the graphics are better than any game I think I've ever seen. It honestly looks like you're watching a real live college football game. And it'll be interesting to see how, you know, the recruiting works, because they said something about the NIL is not going to be involved, stuff like that. And so I'm excited to see what sort of rumors are true and what's not.
Right.
But scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 10 out of 10. Absolutely loved the game as a kid and into college, really.
I was already excited for it. The trailer even made me more excited for it. I'm excited. I don't have to. Well, let's be honest. I didn't really go through and put all the names in the rosters, but I don't have to go find somebody's downloadable file. Because the players who opted in are in the game. That's going to be really cool. Gameplay looks awesome. I think the computer's going to be more difficult to play against than it was in years past. I like a lot of the real features they've added. They brought back like the different stadiums are tougher to play at than others with the difficulty meter, quarterback composure. So you're going to have 5 stars actually playing like 5 stars, 2 stars playing like 2 stars. So that's going to be tough on the recruiting trail. And I'm really hoping that we can get this dynasty going with our friend group that we've been talking about getting going to where we all have to start in the MAC, at least for the first year, and then work our way up. So.
Yeah, I did. I saw I'm never going to make a field goal. I saw the kick meter.
I saw it on Madden, so.
I know. I did you see the video of it? It looks brutal. What else? I saw LSU.
Just don't kick field goals. Just go for two.
That's fair. LSU is going to be the toughest place to play. And then I saw
that makes sense.
Penn State's number two, second hardest.
That's tough.
It is, but they never win the big games there.
That's James Franklin's fault.
It is. but very, very excited for it.
Well, I'm going to make whatever MAC team I end up being, their stadium is going to be the toughest.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that's going to be. But I know Kent State and Ball State are spoken for, so.
Yeah, I might have to create a coach and make him Tim Beckman.
And at Toledo, the Glass Bowl. That's a pretty cool stadium name.
That is cool.
That's a cool one. So, but no, I'm really looking forward to the game. I know, I'm sure Purdue's gonna be pretty bad, but I'll enjoy it no matter what. I saw a rumor this past week. Actually, a good buddy of the show, Evan Webb, sent it to me. The rumor ranking of Nick Scorton, who was a defensive end for Purdue that went to Texas A&M, rumor has it he's 95 overall.
Oh, man.
It's like, that's a swift kick in the gut. But
I forgot about him transfer. He had a good year.
Yeah, Purdue had a six-figure NIL deal for him, but A&M, when he went home
SEC
for break.
SEC money's different.
Yep, that oil money, man. So they took two Purdue guys, but yeah, it is what it is. So, all right, let's wrap it up with the birdie or bogey question. College World Series. What school has the most College World Series titles all time?
There's two schools that come to mind. Obviously, we have the Texases and the LSUs. It's got to be West Coast. Cal State Fullerton used to be really good. UCLA. I think it's USC, so I'm going USC.
You, my friend, got a birdie.
Oh, yeah.
It is USC with 12. Okay. However, they have not had one since 1998.
I they haven't even – I don't even know if they've been back. I'm sure they've been back.
No.
They haven't been back at all either. Man.
Runner up in 1960 and 1995.
They were, they've been very good for a long time, but obviously not that great since.
LSU second was 7.
Okay. I figured LSU was probably up there. Thanks for watching the Tannen J-Man Show live on the ISC Sports Network. We'll be back at it with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.